Welcome back to the Safe House. It's episode 4. It's your boy, V Jagpal. That's what's up. I'm excited. You can hear it in my voice. I'm here with my homeboy, Jazz. What's up, Jazz?
Yo, yo, yo. How's it going, everyone? Man, Vid, good to see you. It's been all of 5 minutes. I know I keep saying this and I'm going to rinse the same old joke, but yeah, man, it's good to actually hear you on the podcast. How's it going, man? How you been?
I've been good. I've been good, thanks. Yeah, you know, life's a roller coaster. We're just rolling with the punches out here. But something I need to talk to you about, but we'll get into that in a little later.
Oh, mate, I had literally one of the worst, not, I wouldn't say one of the worst days, but I had the, you know, when you wake up and you already decide that this is, I just need to go back to bed already. I had one of those starts to the morning. So check this out. I wake up, all good. I had a good 8 hours sleep. So I've been telling you, I've been having 8 hours of uninterrupted sleep the last week now. And that's nice. Really rare for me to have.
Dude, I get 8 hours every night. It's so important. I read this book by Matthew Walker called Why We Sleep. Barbara recommended it to me. Since I read that book, I never sleep less than 8 hours. It's literally anything less than 6 hours is like brain damage. Honestly, the way the book describes it, apparently your brain sits in this fluid, right? And at nighttime, this fluid like enters your mind and like cleanses all the toxins out of your mind. So if you're not doing that, there's like these toxins can like build up in your brain and obviously can lead to like problems later on in life. So. So I don't take, sleep's not a joke for me. And it's not like a bank account where you can say, oh, I got 2 hours tonight, I'm going to get 14 hours tomorrow night. It doesn't work like that. You literally need 8 hours every night. I'm not trying to sound like anyone's dad right now, but like for real, I'm just trying to look out for you. Sorry.
Bro. We should definitely have a conversation about that because you scare the shit out of me because I mean, you know, the kind of like the hours that I've kind of done at work and... you scared the shit out of me because you even sent me that Matthew Walker's podcast.
Yeah.
So I listened to it and I read it and mate, some of the, not analogies, but some of the research that he was talking about with the lab rats and everything, mate, we have to talk about that at some point soon. So I'm really glad that you mentioned that because I completely forgot about that. But no, it's been great recently. I've been having eight hours of uninterrupted sleep. But I woke up today, went to the bathroom. And first thing you do is get your toothbrush and put the Colgate on it. I've been told that I shouldn't be swearing too much. So I'm going to try and limit that for everyone that's been bitching about it. but no, so instead of putting toothpaste on my toothbrush, I bloody put soap dispenser and then I put it in my mouth.
No,
and
you
I'm
didn't.
Like, you idiot. And I was Gone. I was taking the toothpaste out at the same time to put toothpaste on my hand. And I'm like, I've woken up backwards.
Oh my God, Jazz. What, that was today?
That was first thing in the morning.
Even though I had eight hours.
Everything's backwards for some reason, so.
Jeez, what was on your mind? Were you like thinking about some dal or like what was going on? Last night's paneer, what was on your mind?
I was thinking about having to tone down my swearing on today's episode. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a stressful. Thanks. That's a stressful thing to think about.
No, but it was just one of those things. As soon as that happened, I was so tempted to go back to bed and just wake up tomorrow. But no, I had a heavy day today at work, and then even today. So for my lunch, I was making masala beans, and I was washing the chili, but I didn't turn the tap on. And I was wondering why is this chili not cleaning? And I was thinking about it, and I'm getting frustrated. Like, what am I meant to do right now? My mind went just completely.
I think you need a holiday, bro. When's the last time you had a holiday? Vacation for those on the west side.
I think it's been
too long.
Over a year.
Yeah, that's what it is. Honestly, that's what it is. You need a break. That's why my parents just went to Scotland for the week to just like, they had a great time. They just got back today. But yeah, I recommend.
They drove up, didn't they?
Yeah, they whipped in the Gulf because they're bad mans like that. but yeah, I recommend that you take some time off, man. do take a break. You know, you do work very hard. I know you do. And now you're doing this as well. So, you know, get a massage or something. By the way, before I speak about that, just got to say, I don't have a personal problem with any profanities on this podcast, but for the Bibia listening, for the Uncle G's, for the Nanio, you know, you gotta like
Nanio, I haven't heard that. Oh my god.
You gotta watch out for them. They, you know, can't be teaching them all these bad words. But to be honest, those bad words are everywhere. Did you see that meme I sent you today of the kid yelling into the fan at 7 years old? yelling, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway,
I know which one you're talking.
But yeah, on the topic of bad mans and massages, yo, Jazz, what was your first email address, fam?
I thought I escaped that when we were talking about Olu_Bronte.
I forgot to ask you last episode, so let me pull that one out now. Was it something reasonable? Like it was obviously just like your first name _ your last name and then like two numbers, right? At hotmail.co.uk, right? That's reasonable. That's respectable. That's what you're a reasonable, respectable guy, Jazz. So that's what I'm expecting. not anything like insinuating any sort of negative connotation, any like thug behavior, any ghetto kind of lifestyle. That's not you, bro. That's right. That's not the guy that I know.
Wow. Thank you for that. I grew up a little bit later than everyone else. I was a late bloomer. So
what does that
my
mean?
First ever...
Does that mean you're still pooping your pants at like 10 years old?
I was still wearing nappies by 16, bro. Nah. Unfortunately, I thought it was a good idea. And it was my cousin. Funny enough, how you said it was Richard. Oh,
yeah. You're going to blame your cousin?
No, 100%. I ain't taking no credit. I ain't taking credibility for this one. Or accountability, should I say.
Account.
My cousin, we were trying to decide what should I name my first or have as my first email. And unfortunately, it ended up as badmanjazz@hotmail.com. And the most ironic thing was I was anything but a bad man. I was the complete opposite. So
it should have been goodboyjazz@hotmail.com. Is that what you're saying?
Good that would have been too boy. Flattering. But you got to realize I went to an all boys school for secondary school.
Yeah,
and
I didn't.
You can imagine things are ruthless. And I got ripped the shit out of.
Yeah.
They were like, what do you mean, bad man Jazz? Like, what are you saying? Like, mate, everyone ripped me for that. And it got to the point where, and do you know what? I didn't even give a shit that I would happily tell people that's my email address. You know, when you were like, oh, what's your email address? What am I going to email you at? And then, of course, it came to the point where I had to send off for a job application. And my mom's like, you are not putting bad man Jazz on your CV. So at that point, the nappies had to come off and I had to start wearing jeddies then. So it was... yeah. Damn. It was a glorious day. But no, I appreciate you for bringing that back to everyone's attention. I thought I'd escaped that.
You're not going
to
escape anything on this show, bro. I got my... You're in my crosshairs. You know what I mean? I'm coming for you. I'm coming for P-Money. I'm coming for anyone. Obviously, I'm willing to take any smoke too. So, you know, I'm just here to roast. That's what I'm here for.
There is an ash cloud for the amount of abuse you're going to take. So.
That's what I want. Just pure savagery on the show. That's what it should. We're just savages out here. Just, you know, I want us to be ripping into each other. But I mean,
mate, have you?
Sorry, no. After you, sir.
No, I was gonna say no. I was gonna say, have you been keeping up with the Harry Maguire story at all? You know, the United footballer.
I have, but I wanted to. Talk about one or two more things before we can we just put a pin in that. Sorry, just for one sec. Because recently you told me that you just like, correct me if I'm wrong, but you just had like the first massage you've ever had in your whole entire life. Is that right? At the tender age of 29, is that right?
So, this is the point where I tried to like move on from that point, but you've managed to just like out me.
You're
again.
Not getting it past me, bro.
I thought Harry Maguire saved me there, but no. no, so it was, I've had a few massages. So the first time I ever had a massage was in Mexico, and I walked out from it halfway through because I got bored. And then I got given a spa day as a birthday.
I'm sorry. Slow down, bruv. Slow down. Rewind. So you're you're in Mexico, right? Your sombrero's on, mustache is all like twisted up, right?
Pardon?
You're wearing a waistcoat, obviously. Grey contact lenses, right? You're walking. How do you find this mustache? Talk me through, like, what happened? Like, I want to see the image in my head of you walking out of this parlor, so like, or wherever it was.
Oh, so this is in the hotel. So it was one of the amenities This is one of the amenities in the hotel, and I thought I'd book myself in. It was a sports massage, and I thought I'd book it in for directly after my workout. So it was a 2-hour massage, which I thought was, I don't know, I was kind of guessing that was a standard thing. An hour in, the masseuse had to leave the room to go and, I don't know, do something, maybe it was to get more oils or something. I was bored, so I walked out.
She left the room?
She left the room, and then I think I was there for maybe 30 seconds more before I just walked out. I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of done with this now.
Were you a Nanga Banda at that point?
No. So my clothes were still on the, were still around. So
you were quickly put on your gums.
Oh yeah, I put on my gums and skedaddled at that point. But yeah, I got bored, and I've only had maybe a few massages. Okay. But the one I had recently is my first ever deep tissue massage. I think I almost cried. I wanted to cry.
Those are the best.
It was one of the most painful ordeals that I've ever been through.
Those are the best. I love real extreme painful massages, like when I'm on the border of like screaming. Even sometimes I do. Sometimes I'm like, oh my god, like I'm like, that's so painful. And they're like, should I stop? And I'm like, no, don't stop. Like, it's working.
You see how emo this kid is?
You want to talk about emo, bro? We put out your pictures from when you were 16 years old. You had hair down to your freaking belly button or your ass crack. Like, you don't call me emo.
Yeah, that picture's never coming out.
No, we'll post it on the page soon, guys. Don't worry. I'll dig it up and post it on the page. But yeah, no, I love extremely painful massages. I thought that the one you had recently was the first one you've ever had. That's why I brought it up.
Oh, no. So this is just my first ever deep tissue massage. The weirdest thing, though, and I'm not sure if it's happened to you, but my masseuse, I swear I'm not doing this on purpose. My mouth talks faster than my head.
I nearly spat out my water.
Oh, shit. But no.
I thought you were going to say a maths teacher. My maths teacher could have gave been, me to a be honest. Massage.
So, am I even saying it correctly? No, but my masseuse. Oh, my
Masood.
God. My masseuse.
Mr. Masood, the maths teacher, gave you a
Wasn't he a chemistry teacher?
Yo, Mr. Masood, he was a G, bro.
He
gave me bear massages, bruv, but that's a different story.
Yo, I think we need to call child services here, man. Like, what? You must have... That is so...
Shout out Mr. Wow. Masood one time.
Maybe two times. My masseuse was... She climbed onto the table and I wanted to burst out laughing at this point. And you know, like, the walls of Jericho? it was like that. I was being bent. She thought I was like a rubber band, and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Oh fuck, bro, the walls of Jericho was like the most painful shit to do to someone. Oh my god, you're like breaking their spine in half.
Mate, I couldn't tap out. That's the worst thing. I just had to sit there and firm it.
Oh my god. Yeah, some masseuses are extremely strong, and you know, respect to them, because they don't look it, and then all of a sudden they got you in like the crippler crossface, and you know, you're just like tapping out.
to be honest, I was more concerned that the table was going to collapse because there were two people on it.
Bro, you need to be careful with this description. First, you're saying she climbed on top of... I thought you were going to say she climbed on top of you. Then you're saying the table nearly broke. You know. Oh, no. I'm just wondering where you went at this point. So where did you go?
No, so... So after I got Walls of Jericho...
Amsterdam?
And
it wasn't Amsterdam, right?
No, this is in... Hillingdon.
Bro, that's going to be the fucking title of this episode. The fucking Walls of Jericho. Comma Hillingdon.
Oh shit. But yeah, man, it was painful, and she could tell while I was getting massaged that I was tensing, and she's like, is this the first time you've been massaged? And I'm just like, no. And she's like, you need to stop tensing. And like, anytime she would feel me tense, she would pinch my leg to like basically get me to untense. And I'm just like, fuck me, this is an hour of pain. An hour of absolute pain. And then
sounds good, I'm into it.
So one thing I didn't do was drink water after the massage, and I started feeling sick during the day because apparently you release a whole bunch of toxins. And yeah, man, I did not feel too well after that.
Schoolboy.
Yeah, but yeah, that was my painful experience of a massage. I think I'm going to leave it for another year before I attempt that again.
I mean, no, if you're you know, working out regularly, I think it's essential to get like sports massages and deep tissue. You got to like work out that lactic acid build up, and you know, it's just, you know, you just, your muscles need it. You've been pounding them at the gym, so you need to you know, release and clear out all those toxins. So yeah, man, you need to. Did you get like a Groupon, or like how did you? Did your missus send you? Like, why did you suddenly decide to head to see Mr. Masood?
It was actually my sister-in-law that had gone for one the previous week. Okay. And I think I'd been deliberating it for a couple of weeks now, and then she just all of a sudden went and were like, this place is amazing. Last time I listened to her.
Yeah.
I can't be getting Walls of Jericho again. So
yeah, leave that to me and Prash to do that. Damn. Do you know what's crazy? I haven't put someone in the Walls of Jericho or been in the Walls of Jericho for obviously like 15 years. You know, I'm 29, so like I was probably 14 the last time. But I never knew that. Do you know what I'm saying? The last time I ever put like one of my younger cousins in the Walls of Jericho, I didn't know that was going to be the last time. Now, as I'm 29, it's a little unreasonable for me to like go to his house and, you know, just like put him in. Some, you know, it's a little less reasonable now, you know?
You've got to be seriously throwing hands if you're going to put someone in the Walls of Jericho.
Yeah, it's quite an intimate, like, move. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot of...
100%.
There's a lot of, like, waist touching in there, in that move. It's not, you know, there are other wrestling moves that are less intimate, like the F5 or, like, the 3D or five-star frog splash, you know, or, you know, people's elbow...
You are bringing it back. You are bringing it back, man. I remember me and my brother, I think we broke my mum and dad's bed and their bedside tables because we were like doing swanton bombs. And oh, mate, it was it was so much fun to do. I think that the Hardy Boys were like our favorite wrestlers growing up. Obviously, The Rock was like everyone, but the Hardy Boys, like their entrance music, mate, the fact that these guys would like flip off like 20 foot platforms.
Yeah. Mine too.
They were amazing.
Matt and Jeff Hardy.
Absolutely killed it. That match, so remember the TLC match that they would have within a Hell in a Cell?
My cousin Vishan and I and Sunil, we still play like wrestling games on PlayStation, and we still play these games, and we still, you know, set up Hell in a Cell, TLC, Royal Rumbles, you name it, we'll play it. With like Mick Foley and Kane. Kane is like one of our favorite. I want to be Kane. That's like one of our things. That's a running joke in my family that we just say that at random. Like when it's super not the right time to say it. Like at a wedding, someone will just look left and go, I want to be Kane. Like that's the kind of thing that me and my cousins do.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh snap.
There were mad. Some of the wrestlers from back in the day were the best. you know,
they were so influential. I think that's still probably like one of the most influential periods of my life. Like it's probably made up such a big portion of my childhood. Like, I think that was the only, I mean, I don't even pay for boxing matches now, but I used to happily pay for like SummerSlam or like all the main events, and I'd have, and that would be the one thing that my parents would let me stay up for to watch, like these main events that would happen in over like
early in the morning. Please tell me you've seen the prank call where someone is prank calling this woman and pretending to be John Cena and asking her, I can tell by your face you haven't seen it, dude.
Not at all.
I'm going to send it to you after the show. It's hard to describe. There's just like this middle-aged white woman, I think from what she sounds like on the call, who in America somewhere. And yeah, it's just like someone's using John Cena's voice to prank call her like 6 or 7 times and trying to sell her like the wrestling event. And she just goes crazy. I think her husband actually like set her up, but they bring her to the point of like she's about to have a breakdown because they keep calling her back. They're like at one point they even pretend to be the military. They pretend to be a woman from the U.S. military. And at one of the calls is like, oh no.
Fuck off. Don't tell me to stop recording. Vid, I think you've frozen.
Yeah. Am I back now?
Yeah, you're back.
All right, cool. So what we'll do is we'll just edit that part out. Do you know what?
We'll edit that. But yeah, because I'd be pissed if we lost this first 20 minutes of our...
Same. No, we've got it. We'll just edit that out. So I'm just going to...
I'm going to turn my Wi-Fi off my phone.
Wi-Fi?
This, do you know what? I might actually get checked out because I'm confusing my F, my P's and my F's too much.
You get checked out, bro. I kind of want to keep that part, the Wi-Fi part. Anyway, let's try and pick it up from here.
My Wi-Fi's off.
So yeah, I'm gonna restart that sentence. So there's this one part where this woman calls from, they pretend to be from the US military. And they're like,
yeah.
Hi, ma'am. Do you support the U.S. Marine Corps? And then John Cena's voice comes in like, guess who used to be, you know, like a Navy SEAL in the U.S. Marine Corps? John Cena! Do, 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 do! Do, 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 do! It's amazing. I got to send it to you.
I love stupid shit like that.
Yeah, me too. But yeah, damn, those were the days. So what I'm saying is, I miss wrestling and like not watching it, but like doing it, like putting my little cousins in the Walls of Jericho.
Not your masseuse.
Not Mr. Masood. No. Yeah.
Oh shit, man.
So yeah, going for massages though is the one, and I recommend everyone should be going. You know, they're life changing.
I'd recommend that as well. I think it's probably something that people should indulge in once a month.
My cousin has one of those, I don't even know what you call it. It's one of those like...
Theraguns.
Yeah. He's got one of those and you just like work out your own, you know, knots at yard. You can just like fix yourself up at home.
You've got to be a serious gym goer to even warrant using one of those. I think you would though. Like you're in the gym like 6 times a week, so... You would benefit.
Yeah, maybe. I just go. There's a place down the street called Happy Feet, so I go there. And
is that what they call it?
They know what they're doing.
They make you happy.
I guess I'm reflexology. They even had an opening ceremony recently, and they had like a buffet. So I had some spring rolls, and a massage. Yeah, it was a good day.
Do you find like reflexology is like one of the most addictive pains that you can have?
Yeah, 100.
I'm obsessed. Like,
so you go regularly?
Well, my mum has studied the pressure points on your feet, and sometimes she'll just start to sit there and just start pressing like the different parts of my feet, and it's such addictive pain. I love it though. I do it to myself.
Yeah, apparently it's like connected to different parts of your body, right? There's like a part of your foot that connects to like everywhere in your mind. I don't know everyone in your body. I don't know how legit that is. I hope it is legit, but I should probably get like a home foot spa or something to just like roll the bottom, you know, the soles of my feet on to like just like, I don't know, work them out or, you know.
100%. I think loads of it. That's something that you'll find in loads of Indian households. My grandma's got one.
What does it look like?
It looks like a dumbbell actually, but it's got spokes in the middle of where the handle is.
Yeah, I need something like that, I think.
Yeah. It definitely is. Yeah, I think it's definitely worth getting if you're into that kind of stuff.
But Badman Jazz, now that I called you out on your email and your lack of massaging and Mr. Masood, sorry, you were saying Haresh Maguire.
Haresh Maguire. No, I was going to say, have you been keeping an eye or have you been keeping up to date with what's been going on with him, with his whole court case and what happened in Greece?
I heard he got into a ruckus with some Greek mans. And to be honest, bruv, it reminded me of you.
I was literally gonna say, I was waiting to bring that up. Oh my minds. God. I'm so glad you remembered that. So,
Great minds think alike, but I'll let Jazz take this one. But like, I just want to say, Jazz and I nearly died in Greece.
Thanks to Vid,
that guy. That guy's a loose cannon, man. I swear. And
that was the scariest shit ever.
You tell your from your perspective, then I'll tell mine. And please make sure to mention how old we were. And yeah.
Okay, so this is going back to 2009. So we were 17 at this point, and everyone at this point has finished A-levels, and we're now looking to do the boys' holiday to Malia. So standard trip, everyone's either going to Malia or Zante or Rhodes
Go Malia, but are you going to Bangalore?
Or did you get that from my album name? The one on Facebook. So we're in Malia. We have just had the sickest time at the foam party, and we were just hanging outside, eight of us. I think there were probably about 8 to 10 of us that traveled out there, and I had some foam on my shoulder, and this guy randomly comes to, I don't know who he was. It was just a randomer, but he started pouring water over my shoulder, and I just didn't think anything of it. It was your head. Was it my head?
It was your head.
Oh shit! So that's how lit I was that I don't even know where this shit was going. So basically, Vid, thinking that there's an issue, comes to my rescue and pushes the guy and is like, "What the f are you doing?" And no joke, this guy was like, "Hey," whistled. And he's like, come here. And mate, within seconds, we were surrounded by like 10-foot beasts. And at this point, I was praying. I was praying for my life. I'm like, we are about to get
shankum and anchored.
Kick this. If that, man, that's that. Oh, I was scared. And Mihir, thank God, with his diffusing skills. And mate, even at this point, you pushed the guy. had the ball to push the guy away. And we were so close to being finished.
that's proper finished.
Luckily, Bishan and Mihir, with their great negotiation and diffusing skills, managed to get us out of that. But I think to this day was one of the most scariest experiences as I've had. And that is my one sweeping statement of the day.
That's your cap. You just met your quota. Done. Finished. If you make any more, I'm going to have to stop the episode and cut. Yeah. Okay. Is there anything else you want to say about that until I tell it from my perspective?
Tell your perspective, bro.
Okay, so. Yeah, as Jazz said, a couple young chaps in Greece. Come with me. Leave all your things, yeah. We can. Anyway, we're in Greece. We're 18. Obviously, we were pre-drinking. Went to a club, had a crazy time. The foam, correct me if I'm wrong, was like up to our knees in the club.
100%.
Yeah. So we've left the club. We're in the street on the strip. And we're just standing around. Obviously, I'm intoxicated. And I saw some guy come over to Jazz and just start pouring water on his head. Right? Well, okay, so what am I supposed to do? In my head, I've got two choices. Either I let this behavior run, or I'm like, who is this bunder? Let me just, you know, give him a little palm in the chest. Do you know what I mean? Just a little, just let him know that I'm here. Just like, what's up? What's up, bro?
He was like 2 foot tall as well.
Okay, that's a bit of I've never met anyone 2 foot tall. But...
Okay, he was very short.
I don't know if he was short, but he was like skinny. So I was like, what's going on, bro?
Non-intimidating.
I was like, what's going on? Let me just check you one time. Let me just give you a little check, yeah? Let me just let you know that we're here. And then, he literally put two fingers in his mouth like it was a freaking movie and went, like he did the whistle and not that song, but Santana. Oh no, not that. He just whistled, and Jazz is right. We were honestly a couple. He obviously knew the bouncers because then suddenly the bouncers who were on the doors of the surrounding clubs kind of came over and like circled us literally within seconds. And obviously my eyes became wide. I was like, oh shit, like we didn't expect this. Now on reflection, it's a bit of a dirty trick because this like guy is going around like provoking people and then like calling these like, you know, Greek gods to his aid. So it's a little bit of a setup, right? Obi tries, but
exactly.
Real name, no gimmicks.
That was one of the scariest things that I've ever been
through. So then he shoved me, right? And and I like took a couple steps back and my foot hit into someone's parked motorbike. I remember that. And it really hurt. Like I proper like smashed it on this bike's like stand or the engine or something.
Oh,
I was like, damn. And then, obviously I was still waved, so I don't really remember what happened next. But yeah, I think you're right. We had tip-top negotiators with us who managed to defuse the situation. Because, bro, like, I after that, I did hear stories about people getting, like, you know, let's just say unpleasant things happened to them in Greece. If whoever doesn't know, tourists in Greece are notorious for getting wavy and having a mad time. So, and then off sometimes like certain Greek guys take it upon themselves to serve justice to those tourists, or you know, sometimes it's not even warranted. Sometimes it's totally unjustified, and it's more like a premeditated attack. So we got very lucky. Is the long and short of it.
100%. And that's the thing. So that's the thing that makes it this whole story with Harry Maguire really interesting, because he saw, well, according to his side, he saw his sister get drugged and she was completely dazed. And these other guys, or what seemed to be, I think they were local Greeks that were almost stirring with him, and there was a big scrap. people that apparently were disguised as either policemen were supposed to take them to the police station,
mm-hmm.
but they actually took him somewhere else and started hitting him.
Mm.
And yeah, it was just one of those things where I don't know. Do you think British people or just like holiday goers just have just built such a notorious reputation going abroad that has, I don't know, pissed off like the locals wherever we go? Because yeah. I've seen it. Certainly. 100
Brits on tour. There's definitely a reputation. We were pretty well behaved, you know. Good boy Jazz, good boy Vid. We were pretty well behaved. We just wanted to have a good time and listen to Doneo. Doneo was... We actually saw Doneo that night in that phone party. He was performing.
Oh, yeah.
We were partying super hard. And he was also on our flight home. And I think we flew EasyJet. But anyway, shout out Doneo.
Because even when I think I was with Amisha and Ashok, so... couple of friends that also came to Mill Hill with us, it was like 10 o'clock in Budapest and the stag party were already getting lit up.
But whose stag was it?
Oh, it was none of us. It was these Brits that were...
Oh, you were witnessing a stag, right?
Oh yeah, we were witnessing a stag, and mate, they were pouring jugs of beer all over themselves and to each other, and they were throwing up on the side streets at 10 a.m. bear in mind.
Wow.
And one of them was so drunk, he put his hands in the puddle of vomit and wiped his face with it. And we were just like, that's dinner done. That was breakfast that we went for. And we're like, yeah, I can't eat anymore. But it's this kind of reputation that I think really kind of ruins it for the majority of people going abroad. Because it's like, you can't party, because the moment they know that you party, they're just going to assume you're going to act like a bellend afterwards.
No, you're right.
Maybe it does go hand in hand with like the corrupt locals and mm-hmm. or not corrupt locals, but like the corrupt police abroad and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it's nothing specific to Greece. It's just that this is experienced everywhere, because like we've both probably heard a million and one stories of wrongdoings that happen. I mean, you know, even when we were in Malia.
Yeah.
Even when we were in Malia, remember the guys that we went to that were in the hotel with us?
No.
Oh, so there were these other Upnir guys that were in the same hotel with us. I think they were a bit older, but
Upnars, couple Carlars.
Exactly. Maybe not the Carlars, but bare Upnars.
Mm. Okay.
And what happened was one of them got into a fight, and I don't even think he was involved. He got his head split open by the bouncers, and I think it was me, Hilan, and a few of us that were being told the story to, and we were like, oh my god, I didn't even want to go out after that, because I'm like, if people are getting targeted, and this was even after the experience that we had, because you know, even the day after me and you went to, or even after the day after that whole debacle where we almost got turned over, I was scared to go back to the strip, because it was the same bouncers and the strip is really small.
Yeah, but luckily we're brown, so no one can identify us. But you're right, the strip is really small.
Absolutely, man. It's a bad one. Have you ever had any other close calls on abroad, or ever run into any other problems?
I've had a couple close calls. Let me get into one. But before that, I just want to finish off that trip. That trip was sick. We all rented quad bikes that trip. Do you remember?
Oh my god!
We were just ripping through the streets, and that was a wild trip. Do you remember we found that there was like this? We were riding along the beach for ages, and then we found this part that was it was like a little mini like dirt track that no one had really been on, and we were just doing like figures of eights for like an hour. Do you remember that?
I think there was only a few of us that found it. It was just, we randomly just wanted, I think we were just chilling back at the hotel, and I think we just thought, let's just go for a trip. And I think it was only because we were sharing podcasts. We were sharing. we were sharing the quad bikes. We were sharing the quad bikes, two for one.
Two for one.
Very good deal. I was so scared about hiring those as well, because we were told that if you mess this up, then you got to pay a whole bag of money to to solve it. But no, that was one of the coolest things, was finding that dirt bike or that dirt track.
Yeah, no, you're right. It was sick. Jazz, all these, you know, the emotions you're describing, they're not in line with your email address. That's what I'm going to say. Like, that's one thing I'm noticing, is your email address is not depicting the
image.
The stories you're telling, it's not correlating. Anyway, yeah, that was a great trip. Another close call I had was on that trip, because we were riding quad bikes around town, and this is going to sound really dumb, but I was literally driving forward at one point and looking behind me to look to see where you were or where one of the boys was. And by the time I looked forward again, I was like about to crash into a truck, so I had to like slam on the brakes.
And
I slammed on the brakes so hard, like the back of the quad bike went up, like, you know, like a little bit, and I was like a couple inches away from the truck. But you know, close calls. I've had a lot of close calls, I have to say, and they build character. Let's say that. Do you know what I mean? Let's just be grateful that we're all alive and in one piece. But you know, it's like Kanye and Through the Wire. That's a close call, right?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He nearly lost his life, but then one could say, had that have never happened, would he have made the song Through the Wire? Would he have the career he has now? One could say that, right?
Hang on, what's this Kanye Through the Wire? There's a near death experience.
Through the wire.
Don't think I've heard it.
Okay, you saying that you haven't heard Kanye West Through the Wire is probably the most embarrassing thing you've said so far on this podcast. And you've said some pretty embarrassing things so far. So I love you, and I'm always going to have your back. But some people definitely just judged you on that. Like, Chiggs is sitting in his chair right now, like Jazz. Oh, my God. Like, literally.
I'm expecting some.
So just expect some people to pull you up on that. That's what some people are going to call you out. I'm just, you know. Anyway, Through the Wire was probably Kanye's first blow up song, and he describes how he was in a car accident, and he wasn't wearing a seatbelt, I don't think, and he wasn't driving. His friend crashed, and his whole face was, if you could see how my face felt, you know how Mace felt. Thank God I ain't too cool for the safe belt. So no, he was wearing a seatbelt, because he says it in that line.
You know, that just reminded me of when me and Chirag were at the back of your car. And, you know, so just for everyone to know, I'm sure people who have been in the car with Vid know that he's a perfectly safe driver, drives 10 miles under the speed limit at all times. I just remember the one time that me and Chiggs were at the back, and I think this is the first time he sat in the car with you driving, and he was so confused that we were approaching giveaways and you were still bombing it, and there was no sign of us slamming down. And just looking at his reaction, as like, he was almost like, his both hands are up, and he was just like,
he had like submitted to whatever was gonna happen, right? He's just like surrendered to the moment.
Just the way he asked the question, like, Vid, it's a giveaway.
Yeah. To this day, one of the funniest moments of my life. To this day, I was just driving along, honestly, because in my head, it was normal, right? And in the back. First of all, I don't really know why you two were in the back. I don't think, was anyone even in the passenger?
AK was with us.
Okay.
AK was with us.
Yeah, because, and then, yeah, I was driving along. Notice how AK didn't react. Notice that. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
He didn't react. He's just like, this is business as usual. This is BAU, man. Like,
that's what I love. Because he's obviously been in the car with me before, around that time. Obviously, now I'm a much more safe driver. Even since then, I'm a safe driver. You know, I was in control. But look, I'm a much safer driver now, and you know, I value my life, your life, everyone's lives. Driving is not a game, kids. Take it easy. Anyway, yeah, that was one of the funniest moments ever, dude. You just I was casually, it's like a beautiful Saturday, I'm driving on a road I drive on all the time, and all of a sudden you and Chiggs are like dying in the back laughing about me just not slowing down at a giveaway sign. The reason is because we were on like a main road,
yeah,
and the road that we were supposed to give way to, I know that road very well. I used to chill on that road a lot, and I know how quiet that road is, and it's very, very, very unlikely that anyone is going to come out. And even from okay, wait, question, was there a car there? There wasn't a car there.
No.
There was no one to give way to.
There was,
right?
But the point is, we didn't wait to find out if there was. And that's why Chirag was so confused.
Yeah, man.
This is the first time he sat with you in the car, which is why he wasn't used to this.
Yeah.
I was obviously used to this at this point, and it was normal. But Chirag was so confused as to, why are we not stopping?
This is Chiggs.
This is a gift.
Chiggs in the back. I'm not new to this. Coming from the motherfucking east side. That's Chiggs.
But his reaction sent me through the roof, man. I couldn't believe it. I was in stitches for the rest of that evening.
He's got a lot of good reactions in him. Like, if you chill with Chiggs and just watch how he reacts to things, it is a good time. But yeah, so look, Kanye West was in a car accident, and
yeah,
he made this, you know, huge song, arguably one of the biggest songs of his career. I think it was even before Jesus Walks. And what I'm saying to you is, these close calls build character, because his whole song was about his accident and how it inspired him, and, you know, to grab his life by the balls and, do you know what I'm trying to say? Move his music career,
yeah,
forward. So what I'm theorizing is that if that accident didn't happen, potentially, you know, it's like the butterfly effect. You know, little things have huge impacts. So he may never have become the
artist. We would never have we would have
the legend
been
he is
starved
now. Exactly. No,
exactly.
Maybe he would have. No one knows. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
But sometimes there's a beauty behind that. It's the fact that we probably can put it down to the fact that that was probably a big turning point in this guy's life. And through it, we got arguably some of the greatest piece of music, the body of music that we could have ever had. He's shaped. Because how many people have been inspired by Kanye? How many people have probably tried to mimic? Because he was one of the OG samplers, right? He's created and used, and the way he created his beats and formulated his sound had such a rippling effect. So it wasn't even just his songs. It was his beat making. It was his production.
I bit the drums off Explosive. Yeah, he used Dr. Dre's drums a lot, which I respect. Like, why would you not learn from the best? Yeah, but I love his style. But you're right. He did provide a lot of good music. Unfortunately, you haven't heard some of it, you know. Dude,
probably the main bits, but
but no, he's awesome. Some of my favorite songs and albums by him, just to name a few, Saint Pablo with Sampha is amazing. I don't know if you've heard that. My cousin Deepa and I went to see Sampha live. He's an amazing artist. And he's on that song with Drake too much. And
he can play piano too, which I absolutely rate, because he did it in the Drake shoot, the song that he featured in with Drake.
No one knows me like the piano in my mother's home. I love that song so much.
That was a nice melody, man.
Thanks, bro. I got you.
Have you been taking singing lessons?
No.
Why are you lying?
That's a story for another day.
What's been your favorite body of work or album that Kanye has ever released?
I really liked Life of Pablo. There's this video of him performing New Slaves at a Travis Scott concert, and that song goes off live. I like the song FML with The Weeknd. Obviously,
oh,
like,
I love that song.
Graduation, Late Registration, Drive Slow.
College Dropout's my favorite album out of all of his. As an entire body, I'd say College Dropout.
Yeah, There's that song, I forget what, I think it's called Cold. I could be wrong. He's like, don't talk to me about style. He's like, I forget the name. I think it's called Cold. But yeah, Kanye's a beast. And yeah, I saw him in the studio in a video recently with Dre. So I hope that they're working on some magic together.
Also, it's actually a recent clip or a recent image. It's not like an old school image.
Recently, I saw a video on Twitter.
Oh.
Speaking of Twitter, by the way, guys, you've probably seen that I'm back on social media. So thanks. Oh, yeah. I just want to say thanks to anyone who's given us support so far for the past few episodes. We've received an overwhelming amount of support and, you know, compliments and yeah, so really grateful. Thanks to anyone who's listening. We love you guys. And yeah, just need to shout some people out. Yeah, some, so I just did that. But you asked me about further close calls. Let me tell you one more story. Okay, so I was in Thailand, full moon party, Koh Phangan. Have you been there?
I have, but not for the full moon party. When was this again?
2014, summer.
Oh, cool.
I was there with some guys from university. Akash Patel was with me. It was a great trip. We rented mopeds in Vietnam and Thailand. One of the best drives I've ever taken along the Vietnamese coast from about
Hoi An.
Yeah, around Hoi An, from Hue to Hoi An. Oh my God, there's this thing called the, I think it's called the Halong Pass or the Hoi An Pass or the something pass. It's so beautiful. One day I want to go back and do the whole country on a bike because the roads are really smooth and well kept, maintained. And what's cool is this mountain has a tunnel underneath it, so all the traffic, all the cars go in the tunnel, and then the road is just, you know, it's only for people who want to take the scenic route. So it's, you know, it's
oh snap,
it's like it's very leisurely and beautiful. And you might have seen a photo of me, I'm just in a vest and a helmet. Just, you're so liberating to, you know, just you and the bike, and that's it. It's amazing.
I was going to say, I've seen many a pictures with you with a bike and a vest. It's a I've noticed actually, it's a go-to thing for you whenever you travel. Like you normally tend to get a moped or a quad bike or a podcast.
Yeah, a lot of fun. That's all I'm going to say, because in London is difficult. I would never, I don't think I would ride a motorized cycle or quad in London because it's just cray. It's just cray cray.
Impatience.
Yeah. Over there though, you know, it's like £7 a day to rent something. So also the speedometer on the Yamaha I had in Vietnam was broken. So it was constantly stuck at zero. So I had no idea how fast I was going. I was doing some silly things on that bike.
No doubt. They go, I don't doubt it.
They go pretty quick.
one no thing, giving way there.
Anyway, in Koh Phangan, I was going to the full moon party for the first time, and I wanted to travel light, so I took some cash with me. I think I took a phone and some keys, and that was it. I didn't take any cards because I didn't want to lose the card, right?
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, people tell stories about full moon, about, you know what I mean? People tell stories about how,
yeah,
sometimes you end up sleeping on the beach, you don't know what happens, you get lost, people stay up all night. So I wasn't, just to be sure, that's what I mean, I didn't take any cards. I wanted to travel as light as possible. So what I did do was I paid for a return taxi to and from the hotel, the hostel, right? And when I say taxi, I mean pickup truck that you just hang off the back of, right?
Oh, cool.
So I paid like some amount of Thai baht, right? And I had a return trip right? And it was like a necklace. It was like this like lanyard thing with like a look I paid already.
Oh, it's like a hop on hop off service if you needed it.
Right. However, the flaw in this perfectly calculated plan that I thought was perfectly calculated was that, of course, you have to somehow find the taxi who dropped you off at the start of the evening, which of course at the end of the party is a freaking impossibility. You're never going to find that. This fucking beach is humongous and there's a million taxis. I don't know why I didn't think of that. So end of the night, whatever time that was, I obviously had lost all my friends, right? And I was like, okay, I'm ready to go home. At that point, I realized, I looked for the taxi for like, you know, 5 or 10, 20 minutes. I'm obviously not finding it. And at this,
what time in the morning was this now?
Probably like 4 a.m. Who knows? 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 5 a.m.
Shit.
And I just want to get home. You know, I'm pretty drunk. I'm tired. I'm sunburned. I'm hungry. I'm probably horny. No, I'm just kidding. Who knows? I just want to go home. So I couldn't find the right pickup. So what I end up doing is I don't have any cash. I've spent all my cash on Sang-Sum whiskey in buckets, right? Praying that I wasn't going to get roofied. So anyway, what would you do in this position, out of interest, before I tell you what I did? You don't know anyone.
You don't know anyone. I'm assuming there's no hotels around the area.
No, it's in the middle of nowhere. Like, it's on the beach, but I don't even know if there's hotels around. The music's so loud that I doubt it.
And I'd probably try and find the biggest group of people I can.
And it's like at least a 15, 20 minute drive. It's like a 10 minute, 15 minute drive back to your hostel.
Oh, snap.
So you can't walk that. That's like a 2 hour walk.
No, mate, not at all. Yeah, exactly.
And it's hilly. It's super hilly. And I'm in flip flops.
Mate, it's almost like you had everything going against you.
Yeah, right.
Nah, realistically, the only thing I would look to do is find the biggest group of people.
Approach strangers.
Yeah,
at that 100%. Time, at that time of the night. Do you know what strangers are like at that time of the night?
No, but you're a tourist, though.
Towards a young brown man.
I'd look for tourists.
So when you see Dave on the table going, ollie, 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 you're going to say, excuse me, Dave.
I'm joining in. I'm like, oi, oi, oi.
No, I feel you. The thing is, I was in a predicament and I didn't know what to do. You're right. That is a good option to like speak to. I don't even know how I start that conversation though. Excuse me, sir. I want to go home and can I borrow £5? Do you know what I mean? Like, what do you say?
I'll threaten them with my email address.
Look, mate.
Badman Jazz here at hotmail.com.
Send me your Thai bot. Yeah. So look, here's what I did. I just waited until I saw a pickup truck that was like ready to leave, because the good thing was all the taxis went down the same street to go back to the hostel. Like, what I mean is there's one main road. So I knew that any car leaving was likely to go past my hostel. That's what I'm saying. So what I did was I waited for a pickup truck to be ready to leave. And then I just kind of like hid my face with the darkness of the night, which was pretty easy. And then I just like hopped on the back and held on to the metal. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was just hanging on to the truck and hoping that the driver didn't see me.
Yeah.
So that's what I did, right? Anyway, it works out. I get back to the hostel and he even stops outside the hostel, right? But then what happens is they collect payment at that point, right? I think he was coming to collect payment at point of drop off. So he stops and then I can't actually remember.
So he dropped you right outside your hostel?
Correct.
As in purely out of convenience without
purely out of convenience because someone else was getting off.
That is Babaji doing his work. That's Babaji doing his honest work.
Thank you, Babaji. So but then check this out. So he pulls over. I think he's about to come and like start asking for money. I think that's what was happening. He was like, you know, asking. So obviously I just legged it, right?
I was expecting that, but it's still, oh my God. Rated.
I was like, Babaji, save me now. I just legged it.
Give me the
legs. However, as I was legging it, I had to, so the truck had pulled up outside the hostel, but there was still, it was a two-way street and it was two lanes. And there was, I was on the other side. So there was still a lane I had to cross, right? To get back to the hostel.
Yeah.
Jazz. I did not look for traffic. I was like, it's 5 a.m. No one's going to be driving the other way. I'm like, who's driving the other way? That was my thinking. I was like, no one's going to the party at this time, right? I'm just going to go. So I step into the street and another pickup truck like flashes past me. Literally like an inch away from my face.
Holy smokes.
I nearly got cleaned out. Because obviously I was like trying to run from one taxi. So I was kind of just like in that mode of just like run. And then I had to stop immediately because I was going to get clocked by this pickup.
Oh.
Which was going full speed. And like no, you know, it's not like a city road. It was like a country road. So he was going quick. And so he flashes past, and then after nearly dying, I then run into the hostel and get back to my room and go to my bunk bed and Akash Patel is like on the upper bunk, just like sleeping peacefully. He's already come back and I'm just like, part of me wants to wake him up and tell him what just happened. And then I think I can't remember if I woke him up or if I just like... prayed and went to sleep. Do you know what I mean?
Holy mate, that is ridiculous.
Close calls.
Cool, man. A memory like that would not leave me anytime soon.
Yeah, I remember it so vividly, right? that was over 6 years ago.
Damn. Thailand has got some weird, like, I've heard all sorts of stories of Thailand. Like, have you ever heard of the organ, what people do with organs and the black market for that? So no. I heard a story. So one of a colleague of mine told me a story once where a friend of hers went to Thailand and she came back. A colleague of mine, her friend went to Thailand and he went on a night out and he scored two goals. He thought, obviously, let's go back to his hotel.
He scored two goals?
Two girls.
Oh, okay.
Two females, or what he thought were females.
No, that's a real thing too.
Exactly. Exactly. So he's going... I think he's in a taxi back with them too. And all of a sudden, he's like carrying conversation, like flittering between the two. And the cab that he's in turns a corner into an alleyway and he gets out the car and he's obviously panicking at this point. The taxi driver reaches into the car, pulls the two girls by the hair... and drags them out. And he basically takes them out to the point. And then he gets back into the car and just drives off. And he's like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, get me out of the car. So the taxi driver's driving for maybe another minute or so. And the taxi was, he was like to him, I think they found another local. And he translated the story. Basically, the taxi driver heard a story between the two girls saying, we're going to take this guy back to wherever or to where the destination was. And they were going to drug him and cut him open for his organs.
Jesus Christ.
So the guy, when he found out that what the taxi driver did for him, he basically gave him all of his money. And he's like, I don't know what to do for you. And basically, he went back the next day. He got the taxi driver's contact details. Mm. And he actually went to give him more money because he's like, you have saved my life here. I would not have known anything that's happened.
Well, not a favor. He saved his life.
Can you imagine two people were discussing about what organs they're going to take from you that you were being cut up like you're
and you think you're on the way back to have like an after party? That's crazy, man. I would never meet a girl and like go back on the same night. Do you know what I mean? Like that's with her, I'd take her anywhere. That's, or even especially two girls from a different country. Yeah, it's crazy.
as a guy though, man, like inhibitions down, you're drunk, you think you're having a great time. Yeah. Exactly. Like it can happen to anyone. And imagine how many people it's probably happened to, and nothing's probably crazy.
Yeah, so this is a warning to anyone listening who hasn't been to Greece or Thailand. Those places are beautiful, lovely places, but they do have darker sides that we're just warning you about. That's all we're doing.
100%. You just got to be so vigilant when you're abroad. Anything that seems too good to be true usually is.
Apart from me and Jazz.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Welcome, babes. but yeah, what'd you think about Haresh? Any thoughts on that? I know you're a Man United fan. So do you have some bias towards him? Do you think he should be let off? Like, what do you think?
So I watched the interview that he did on BBC. He sounded convincing, but also at the same time, he's got a PR team and he's got a legal team that is being paid a shit ton of money to help him direct this whole PR, this whole stunt.
Mm.
I think so one thing that apparently that came out from the Greek police or the Greek legal authorities were Harry Maguire during this whole thing said, fuck the Greek police, fuck the Greek civilization. And I'm like, who says that? Who talks like that?
Yeah,
I cannot imagine Harry Maguire saying fuck the Greek civilization.
Right.
Who would say it? I think this is a spin. And apparently so much of the evidence was not even considered when he was being tried the first time. And he got convicted for, I think, 2 years or something like that.
So he got a 2 year jail sentence in Greece.
It was a 2 year suspended sentence. So he doesn't have to serve it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the fact that he still got convicted, but it was done super quick. I think there is a bit of
foul play
on both sides. I think I wouldn't be surprised. As a footballer, sometimes you can get a bit arrogant and your status can sometimes have a bit of prominence and shine through. And especially if you're in panic, you will do whatever you can to get out of a situation. He
throw
apparently
money at the problem.
Exactly. He's like, I'll pay you. Do you know who I am? I'm Harry Maguire. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if something like that happens.
Me either.
And I think maybe there was foul play on both sides.
I agree.
But it's just one of those things. They just need to forget about this. But do you know what, though? I kind of blame him for being in the situation in the first place. Like, you're the captain of one of the biggest sides, one of the biggest football brands and sporting brands. You should not be mingling with normal people. Like, that is not your image. Like, it goes against everything you say. Like, for you to get paid handsomely and the way you do, you need to be completely away from the rest of the normal folk, because you are going to get jeered up like that.
Yeah, people are going to try and trap you in situations to, you know, force you into some sort of predicament or scenario like this. Yeah, you're right. So let me ask you this question. If you were him, where would you be partying and what would you do and not do?
Mate, I would get the sickest Airbnb and I would invite friends. I'd bring all my friends over, especially with the kind of cash that, well, if I was earning the kind of cash that these guys have, I'd bring all my friends and have like the biggest party. I think you've got to kind of go through that and restrict your social life like that while you're being
the spot. You can't party in an Airbnb forever though.
Mate, in Greece, you can get you can get villas, like 6-bedroom villas with huge pools, patio areas.
Mm.
You can have a great time without being in the public eye.
It's tough though, because let's say you're there for a week and you do that 4 or 5 nights or whatever, and then one night everyone is persuading you to just go, come on, hit this club, you know. I agree with you. I'm just saying that.
But that's where your responsibility comes in. And the worst thing, and not the worst thing, but he's a captain. He has to be leading by example. He has to.
El capitán.
Exactly. He has to know that he's not subjected to the same kind of rules that just the common folk are. Do you know what I mean? And I think he just has to do it. And do you know what? I'm sure there's services available, like private services or VIP kind of services where he can take part in or kind of contact and get him sorted. Do you know what I mean? So
you mean in a club?
Yeah, in a club, or even if he had security around him. I'm like, it's the daftest thing he did was keeping himself open. Like, even in the videos that were floating around on Twitter.
I didn't watch them.
Ah,
You've got to have security with you.
He looks so out of place, and I'm like, serves you right for being and putting yourself in that situation.
Damn, calling him out. That's your own team, bruv.
Mate, I'm a human first before anything. And like, you know, because do you know what it is? There are so many people that would get viewed.
I respect that.
Work that would get viewed with harsher criticism than he's been, than he's actually taken. And I'm not saying that he shouldn't be treated any worse than anyone else, but I think there's...
You're trying to say that he's actually kind of... if it wasn't him, someone else could take more criticism.
Yeah, I think
he's,
other people...
He's lucky, you're saying.
Yeah, he's been very lucky with the way the media have handled him. Because let's just say if it was someone like Paul Pogba, Paul Pogba, especially with the media nowadays, man, he gets treated so differently to the way like Harry Maguire has. So that's why it's just, it's just one of those things that I noticed during this whole thing. And that's why I was quite keen on like following this whole story with him. But
it's an interesting opinion. And I agree with you on the topic. What are your thoughts on Manchester United at the moment as a fan? That's not a leading question. I don't mean that in a sarcastic way. Honestly, I haven't even been following the Premier League too closely. So I know you have. So I'm just interested in your thoughts at this current time.
I'm not really happy with the way United are doing right now.
I'm
not. I think we've got a good team. I just think we haven't got the greatest coach, and I think he's at a dead end with how I think he's taken us as far as he can. But yeah, I mean,
who do you want?
Oh, there's a guy. Do you know there's a manager in Germany called Nagelsmann who's 34 years old? And he's a manager of RB Leipzig. Incredible team. He plays great football. I'd love to be able to have him at United. I think he would do great with the players that we have at our disposal at the moment.
But correct me if I'm wrong, Solskjaer doesn't look like he's going anywhere, right?
Nah, mate. He's there to stay. He's a Glazer puppet. He's a complete Glazer puppet. Have you been following any football? Have you been following any sports in Canada while you've been there?
So hockey is obviously huge here. It's on every day in the gym and people really go crazy for it, which is cool. Bro, by the way, ice hockey, I already knew this, but I didn't know it to the extent I knew it. I've learned about it since I moved here. It's basically boxing. It's literally not even hockey. It's more boxing than hockey. Literally, these mans are uppercutting each other. I'm not kidding. They spend more time fighting on the floor and like hitting each other in the face with sticks than they actually do like skating and hitting the puck around. It's crazy. It's so aggressive, you know.
Have you asked anyone how that even became a legal part of the game?
No, it's a good question though. For me, like I love boxing. You know, we watch a lot of fights together.
Oh, yeah, man.
I love watching boxing, but even when I watch football, soccer, UK football, you know, I hate the theatrics and the drama, right? Obviously.
Yeah.
But I love the art of the game, right? So I want to enjoy that about hockey too. I want to enjoy the art and the strategy and the, you know, the teamwork and the, you know, reaction time. But in my own opinion, I think because I'm new to it, I've got this problem with the aggression because it's making it less beautiful.
Almost comic, exactly. It takes away from the finesse of the game.
It takes away from the finesse, exactly. Imagine in the Premier League, if players were allowed to punch each other in the face and the referee just came along and was just like, pointed his finger and just said, okay, stop now, and then continue the game. It wouldn't be called the beautiful game, right?
No,
that's what
at
it's
all.
Called. That's what I'm saying. I want to get more into hockey, but it's so aggressive that I'm like, this is kind of boxing more than hockey. So what's
it kind of because like when you think of this, all sports is supposed to be considered like a gentleman's sport.
Yeah,
like
that's what I mean.
It's an act of being a gentleman and treating the sport with respect.
Yeah.
Like even in boxing, you're punching the fuck out of each other. But at the end of the day, we'll still touch gloves at the end of it. We'll respect the fact that we've both been to war. And I say we, like I've done any boxing, but it's just that it just, yeah, I think I agree with you almost that the element of it. I mean, I don't pay attention to it, which is why I just see it as a funny thing. And the ice hockey doesn't mean anything to me.
But yeah, people go crazy for it here. And here's the thing, though. I said that comment, but also I don't see it changing, and that's cool too. Maybe I just need to adapt more. Do you know what I mean? It's because I'm new to it. Because I can't imagine a version of the game that's less aggressive. I don't see how that would work either. It almost needs a level of, you know, contact. Don't worry.
Are you doing more ass slapping?
Don't worry, I'm not slapping my ass again. Just yet. I'll wait for the end of the show. Speaking of the end of the show, Jazz, we're at one... We're over an hour, so I think we've ranted.
Blimey,
and,
that's gone really quick.
We've chinwagged a lot. So, yeah, just from me, guys, thanks so much for listening. So happy that episode 4 is a wrap. We're loving this, and we can't wait to see you on the next episode. We're going to have a special guest for you, either in next episode 5 or in episode 6. And, yeah, more guests to come. I just want to say thanks to my co-host, Jazz, the man, the legend himself. And yeah.
Thank you very much for listening, guys. And yeah, just to reiterate what Vid said before, thank you guys so much for giving us the time of day to listen to us. And we really appreciate it. And we hope to keep on providing you with more joyous entertainment and more ass slapping like Vid likes to partake in. But yeah. Thank you very much for listening, guys, and we'll see you in the next show.
Yeah, and just to wrap things up, we're on Instagram at thesafehouse.podcast, and you can find us there. We do have a Twitter account, it's the Safe House Podcast. Haven't set up the Facebook one yet, we'll do that soon, but also no one really cares about Facebook. we'll probably do that soon. And anything else?
Nah, man. I think that's a wrap. Peace out.